Hello, and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on? How's, how's your day? What's going on? I feel like we're heading into a new era here. Like, people are starting to get vaccinated. People are starting to go outside. I was in New York, and New York was, you know, a little bit popping a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit warmer. It's like, it's almost like the exciting time of year. Normal year, it would also be kind of that exciting time of year. You know, you get like a few nicer days that kind of take you out of that like 40-50 degree slump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a hopeful time of year. But this year, I feel like that is definitely amplified. You know, starting to plan some trips and planning my bachelorette party.
How's exactly. that going? What is the
good? Do you want to come?
Can you imagine?
I want you there. I just want you there to roast everything that we do.
Usually my place on a bachelor party is just in the corner, you know, making remarks and reviewing how stupid everything is while doing the stupid things.
Yeah, you know? I want you to voice over.
Yeah. I'll make the TikToks with the with the VO. Oh,
she's really wearing the veil to the bar. Really? Really?
Well, you gotta do all the things. You gotta act like an idiot. You know, why not, right?
Yeah. I agree to an extent. I'm gonna try to do it, you know, just the right level of cheese. We'll see how it pans out.
How big is the group? And is this a difficult thing to put together with COVID and kind of the things that go around with that? And also, you got to have friends that, like, they got a baby. Are they like, I got to get away from this baby, thank God for this? Or are they just like, oh, I have a baby, we don't want to make this the wedding podcast, but
right. Well, it's definitely a smaller group than I think it would have been if I had it in like 2019. But we're doing it end of June. I'm pretty sure a lot of people who are coming are already vaccinated, and I'm pretty sure everyone will be by then. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. And then, yeah, there's people who can't come because they're either pregnant or they anticipate being pregnant at that point, or they just had a baby. So it does take a little bit, away from that, I guess, but it's also like, you know, I have seven people going. That's a good amount for me.
Seven's a great number. I think once you get over 12, it's too much. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of those things that, like, people think, I've been on the one where it's like 20 people, 30 people, and you go, what am I even doing here? Like, you get like the middle of that weekend, you're like, I don't need to be here. I am not an asset. Like, this guy, there's like a core six that it could have been and not me.
Yeah, and I get it. It's like fun to include everyone, but then it's like, oh, we're making decisions as a group of like 15 people.
You
got
to have a leader. You have to have a good leader. Who's your maid of honor?
I don't have a maid of honor because I have five sisters.
Okay.
And a lot of friends. And so, like, I have a lot of bridesmaids. I have like 15 bridesmaids, but so I do not have a maid of honor.
Is there someone that's taking the lead for the planning of this trip? Because that is my biggest thing with bachelorette parties. You need a plan. There's nothing worse than, what are we going to do? And then it's like an hour of, what are we going to do?
Right. Well, I'm lucky enough. I've been on, my friends and I have done a lot of girls trips in the past. So, and I've planned a lot of bachelorettes. So we've got, and I'm like I say this a lot on Brights. Like, I'm one of the older members of my friends to be getting married. Like, I would say I'm the latter crew.
Okay.
So they've been around the block. Do you know what I mean?
We know what we're doing by now.
Right. We're not like 25-year-old brides who like are winging it. Like, there's a standard thing. And then I planned a bunch. So those people are kind of planning mine. Do you know? It's like kind of
love
seamless.
It. But those are the best types of parties. But to get us off of this a little bit, I have a question for you. I got sent, and listen, to all the listeners, thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this show. I'm saying it sounds like I'm checking a box off, but we do appreciate it. A lot of people have been posting about the show, and we do still want you to make it your Instagram story. Like, tag us. Let us know you're listening. That feels so good and amazing. And I'll just say this, and I say it on podcasts a lot. Everyone's looking at your story, and no one's talking about it. So you go, oh, no one follows me. I don't care. Everyone's got 200 followers. You tag Jordana and I. You tag the UUP account. We'll like it. UUP account will repost it. And what you're doing is, instead of having to beg a friend, now it's like a non-invasive way. Because they're going to look. They're going to want to know, right, Jordana? You do that thing where you touch someone's story a little bit.
Totally. And I feel like the less followers you have, the more people actually take you seriously. Because it's like,
yeah,
you know, the people who do follow you because they really want to. It's not like, you know, Jared's 250,000 followers.
That's true.
And, you know, half of them are, and, you know, half of them are bots.
Exactly. They're all bots.
Just kidding.
There's only Jordana and my mom are following me for real. They're all bots. I don't care.
Share it on your story. And you know, I watched Socially Distanced, of course, for the second time last weekend.
That was really too nice. That warmed my heart. That was you didn't have to do that.
Mike hadn't seen it. And you know, we were like, we ordered, you know, Chinese food. We were eating Sunday night, and I was like, he hadn't seen it, and I was like, I don't really feel like browsing Netflix for 45 minutes to find a new show. Let's watch it. You'll see it. I'll see it the second time. The jokes were even better the second time. It was great.
Thank you. And did he enjoy? Was he on board?
He loved it. He was laughing out loud. He doesn't really even do that often. So
that's a big deal. And let me just say, like, that's the best part of my special is you don't have to surf Netflix. I'm giving you the go ahead. Go do this. That's the only reason to watch is that you don't have to sit on Netflix going, they took The Office off here.
Right.
Yeah. Don't go through that depressing moment of endless options. You have one option. I'll get through my announcements. Socially Distanced, of course. Go watch it. Jordana, thank you for watching it. I'm going to be in Long Island next weekend doing shows at the Brokerage Comedy Club. I know we got a big Long Island crew. Would love to see people out there. Jaredfree.com. I got more shows coming up. They're starting to book up because things are coming back. Jordana, what do you got going on other than this sweet new design?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys have already seen it. We've got the Betches rebrand. We've got the Red Flagger, Deal Breaker. One of the regular pack is sold out already, but the expansion pack is still available. They're basically like, they're both equally entertaining. They're the same thing. They're just different cards. So if one is sold out, get the other one. They're awesome. Check it out. If you guys are moms or know of any moms, we are launching the Betches Moms podcast in early April. I will have to check the exact date, but it's coming in like a couple of weeks, and it's going to be probably less than a week by the time this comes out. And it's going to be great. It's like going to be an honest, unfiltered look at motherhood and all that stuff surrounding it. So if you're even like mom curious, which is a term I like to use, check it out. Should be great. What do you have going on, Jared?
I'm done.
Done?
I have
I just told you. Were you listening?
Said, yeah. Remember the special was great. Mike liked it. So remember you saw it a second time.
I usually go first.
you pitched me into it, so I felt like I was gonna take the lead on that one. But I just forwarded you an email because last announcement. Next week's episode is gonna be a quick hits episode, and the only way to get your quick hit question in is by following at UUP Pod. Oh, it's too late.
It's too late by this point.
Well, you can go fuck yourself. But that's gonna be a fun episode.
If you listened to us last week and you submitted your questions, congrats to you, because we're going to do them next week.
There we go. Okay, so I got tweeted this, okay?
Okay.
And I forwarded you an email. Hey, J-Train, okay? I'm freshly single. So, like, I love these freshly single people because it's like they came out, they were just thawed from the ice, and they're like Cro-Magnon man, whatever.
They're like babies just experiencing everything for the first time.
And they really bathe in it. Anyone who's freshly single, oh, I don't know what to do. It's like, you've had Instagram. You've had fucking Facebook. You know what to fucking do.
Oh, my
do.
God. Guys love this one especially. It's a great excuse for just like being a terrible dater who's like doesn't respect anything. They're just, you know, this is all so new to me. I didn't realize I was supposed to text you more than once a week. You know, I haven't done this in forever. I'm a pariah.
As if they've never had a friend. Right. As if they've never communicated with a human being over text. Yeah, they do act like just like fresh fetuses out of the womb. And you're like, come on, what are you talking about? You're not a baby. You get with it. Like, and so I do enjoy that background of person because they are always hilariously, obnoxiously lying to your face by saying, I'm freshly single. What do I do? Okay. So, but I like this person because this tweeter does seem like he's honest. I'm freshly single. This is the second online survey form a woman from a dating app has sent me. When did this start? I'll take the answer off air. Thanks. So
sorry.
We'll
address your first part. Yeah.
Yeah. So he gets sent. I guess what happens is, and I did ask him, I was like, can we talk about this on You Up? And only if it's framed as an assault on romance and mystery. Kidding. Yeah, of course. I like this guy. Do what you want. I received both within the last 2 days, but unfortunately the match for the other survey I got expired because I didn't answer. Okay. And I said, is this the only question they ask? And then he linked me on IG with the link. But I'll say this. Basically, what I assume is happening, he's matching with a woman, and then her first thing is to send him a Google Doc that is titled The Bare Minimum.
Yeah, so we'll share this survey on the Instagram stories for the episode release.
Do you want me to go through all the questions? Because I have it in front of me. I can read them
all. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so the first question is your name. That's a required one. They're all required. Okay? Okay. All of them have the required star next to it. Are you 100% single? What do you think of that question as a survey question for someone that you have not even met? So
what do I think of a survey question in general? Is like,
so what do you think of a? I guess let's start that, or we should read them all first, because some of them I'm like asking if you're 100% single. Like, okay, I actually think that's like one of those things you would think is of course, but like,
well. Everything, it's funny because, you know, I run a company, I negotiate, I read a lot of contracts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every time I read a contract and there's a clause that seems crazy to me, I'm like, what happened in a previous contract that this person included this clause in this contract? Yeah. Like I remember some entertainment contract, it was like, you will not disclose this within the world or like outer space or something like that. It was like something like...
You know
what I mean? Like the terms were like so specific and so outrageous that I was like, what happened that they were like, in our next contract, we need to protect ourselves against someone disclosing this to an alien life form potentially.
Well, you speak like a true CEO and someone who's in charge, because that thought all stems from money. Like for every clause, there must be a lawsuit that won someone money. And then they were like, never again.
They were like, never again, this is going in all our future clauses. So when I see any kind of question like this, I'm like, something happened in a past relationship that made her include this in this survey contract.
From my perspective as a guy, I guess that's a way you could go, oh, she must have been screwed over by someone who wasn't 100% single. But I would also say, like, that is something you hear about on dating apps, like that, just like, oh, running into the guy that is like, yeah, I got some. Yeah, but we're like open, or maybe not sure what we are, but I'm still here. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think, I mean, it's funny because like it seems like single would be like a binary choice, like single or not single. And then you have people who are like, no, I'm so single.
Well, the question, yeah, exactly. No, I'm the worst, most single person alive. The question should be, if from a female to a man, and this isn't fair to either gender, but I guess this is the way I think of it, is if I ask the last person who French kissed you, would they consider themselves in a relationship with you?
What if you broke up?
If you broke up, then you're not in a relationship. But if you ask that person,
okay, oh, I see. Are we? I see what you're
do you know what I mean? Like, like, because are you single? Is like, well, I'm single. I don't know about, you know. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like the wiggle room.
Right. No, I see what you're saying. It sort of answers the question of like, are you still hooking up even if you're not single? Are you still sleeping with various people even if you're not single?
Yeah, that gets into the various forms of, oh, I'm very single. Someone goes, I'm kind of single. I don't know. I got a thing.
Right. You know, it hasn't been defined yet.
Exactly. They're again, the small print on the contract. Okay. Let's keep going through these. You ready?
Okay.
What are you looking for? Relationship, hookup, other.
Other.
Okay. One word you'd use to describe your last girlfriend.
Okay.
That seems like an obvious one. Like if the guy, like, I don't think a guy is going to write like that fucking bitch. Like, I don't think, yeah. Like, okay.
What would be like a safe answer for that? I don't even know. Like,
I would be positive if it were me.
What?
What's that?
Punctual.
Yeah. Good at cursive. I would be glowing. I don't know what that would say about me, but religious beliefs. Okay. And that's you have to write in the answer. Have you ever voted for Trump? Yes or no?
Okay. Have you ever?
Okay.
Not like did you, but like have you ever?
In a world, did you vote for
first or second term?
Yeah. Or did you watch The Apprentice? I want to know everything Trump related. Name a TV movie character that encapsulates your brand of humor. Ooh. I guess The Office would just like get written 1,000,000,000 times for people. When you say you drink a quote unquote normal amount of alcohol, what is quote unquote normal?
Who said they drink a normal amount of alcohol? That's very. Is this person at the doctor's office? Yeah.
I know. Like, what? I guess. What? And also, are you going to write what you would. What would you write for your, you drank? What would you write?
On the weekends, like, I'll have a cocktails or wine.
Yeah,
I don't know. It seems very open-ended.
It seems open-ended. It's also like already accusatory of people who are sober. Like I wouldn't
every
feel comfortable as a sober
here.
Person.
Every question is extremely judgmental. Underlying tones.
Are.
Yeah.
Fair. What word do you hope people use to describe you when you aren't around? Your secret obsession / guilty pleasure. Your favorite unpopular opinion. Any quirks or pet peeves I should know about, just know about now. Anything else you want to share? And then it's a submit, and that's the form. So, Jordana, what do you think? I agree with the judgmental tone. What do you think of someone doing this?
I would be very turned off by it. This, to me, it seems, again, like this screams of a kind of cynical person that is looking to, like, save their time or, like, you know, not have to deal with any pain or discomfort.
Yeah.
Presumably through weeding people out by the correct answers to this survey.
A guy sent this to me. So, and he said he's gotten it from two different women. It seems as though like this could have been fun. Do you know what I mean? Like this could have been maybe three questions and then at least you're getting to know a little bit more about the person. But it does have the air of like this person's a queen and she's taking applications from all the townspeople of who gets to date her. Because if you go for funny on this, like how, you know, are you, they're like, oh, he thinks he's funny. If you go for serious, oh, he takes himself too serious. Like there's no winning this. And it's like, you know, I don't know. And I agree with you. The cynicism shows through in the questions where it's like, listen, the political one, I understand that people are like, I'm not even. But like, I always stand by the idea that like if you're interacting on an app and it's going well and that's something that comes out along the way, you can make that decision later down the road. It's not like you know.
Right. This is turning dating into something even more transactional than dating apps already are. Mm. It's kind of like this is turning dating into a lease application. To apply to an apartment. It's like you're not taking any, it's taking like all of the fun out of it. It's all about like, it's transactional to me. It seems it's not really about, you're not going to get to know someone by reading their answers to a survey. I
don't think so either. And I also think it feels like you're just putting yourself in the position to laugh at people. Like, I feel like there's just like, if I wrote in answers to this, it'd just be a group of women, you know, texting each other, cackling. You know, like just a bunch of cacklers, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, there's honestly, there's ways to find out the answers to all these questions through an organic conversation with someone or a phone call or a FaceTime with them that is over 20 minutes. There's a way to find that out organically that isn't like, again, are you applying to be my boyfriend or are you applying to date me? It's more, this to me is like a little sad almost.
Yeah. And if I was taking dating seriously on this app, I wouldn't take this person seriously. I would think that they're not taking it that seriously either.
Or do you think they're maybe taking it very seriously because they're like, I'm not even going to waste my time potentially going out with someone whose favorite unpopular opinion is not that interesting.
And well, I guess it's one or the other. They're either taking it too seriously or they think this whole thing's a joke.
Yeah, and, it has one or the other. I agree.
Yeah. And the unpopular opinion one, like, you know, in a world where like you kind of have to like, you know, we're all learning, like writing something to people over the internet or writing your unpopular opinions on the internet. You don't know what the audience is going to be. So it's like, why do you deserve this trust? You're just a better person than me right away because you're a woman on a dating app and life seems to be somewhat harder for a woman on a dating app. Like, I would agree with that statement that it's harder for women on a dating app, but I would also say that this kind of sets you up for like this other person, a worthiness check.
I think it's like you're trying to find a life hack or a hack for like dating, for not wasting your time dating, going on dates with people who aren't your match. But like that's sort of an inevitable part of dating or doing anything that to find someone worthwhile is like going through that, saying I like this about this person, but I don't like that. Or what I mean?
Yeah. And I would say that like, where's this on your profile? Like if they answered all the questions on their profile, then or like sent their answers with it, like I actually would be more turned on to it.
Right. They sent you theirs and then they were like, okay, now you.
Yeah, but like they don't even trust you enough to see their answers. They're just saying, yeah, we'll see what you got to show. Like, give me some examples of how open you were.
I mean, I've never heard of anyone doing this, so
He said twice.
I wonder if that's an anomaly or if that is actually like a thing now.
I don't know. I do think it stems from like people getting fucked over and meeting people that aren't honest. And I get where it comes from. Like, but it's like, again, we talk a lot about this on this podcast where it's like, you know, the like realizing the temperature of the room, the weather outside, like these things can happen. You have to be a better buyer. You have to like not be so like there's the cynicism chart, you got to be like a 6 and not a 10.
Right. You've got to like view the apartments before you apply to one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like this is trying to like skip the whole viewing process. It's like, you know what I mean? Like tell me your best, like looking at apartments now. So I'm in that mindset, but it's like, tell me the best thing about this apartment. Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or you could just go see how you
take an hour
in it. Right.
Sure.
Take a look and you'll get a much better sense for it than. There's no amount of surveys that I could take about for a place to live that would give me the same sense of it as going to see it for 5 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
And the guy who ticks off, I'm not in a relationship, but he is in a relationship, is the same guy that's going to lie to you anyways. Like a liar can't be, you have to, you know, judge people and also stick. Again, this is where like the sticking to your standard thing, like, hey, I don't give a fuck if this date didn't work out the way you wanted it to work out. That's how I date and that's how I get to know people. And that kind of like reverses things. Like this to me, the like you said in the beginning, like it's like it kind of shows a little bit of helplessness.
Right. Or like, again, like an extreme amount of like cynicism to me.
Yeah. Let's do, I just wanted to bring that up. I thought that was an interesting.
Definitely interesting. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's JUVEDERM.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
We got an email today?
Yes. So the question is, what do you do when you say I love you and he doesn't say it back?
Farts. Oh. I love
that'll,
you.
That'll trap him. I'll regret that.
Yeah.
Okay. J&J, I'm writing to you in the hope to get some advice on an issue I'm having in my relationship. I've been dating a great guy for 5 months, and a month ago I got heavily drunk and told him I love you. He did not say it back. Embarrassed, I went home that night. It has been a month since then, and he knows how I feel, but he has not said those words to me. But overall, things have been going really well. With his actions, he has shown me more love than anyone else I have dated who did tell me they loved me. He introduced me to his family, always offers to do chores for me, cooks for me, and shows me a lot of affection. He does these things without me asking. He says things like, you're amazing, I like being committed to you, and I'm crazy about you. When would someone...
He sounds like one of the contract people you're dealing with.
When would someone casually say, right, I like being committed to you? You know?
Hey, do you want to go to five Guys? And by the way, I like being committed to you.
Very weird. With his actions.
It does fit. Well, hold on. It does sound like he's the contract writer. Like in that scenario, he's like it does sound like one of those clauses. Like I'll say I liked being committed to you. That doesn't mean more. Doesn't mean right. less. You know,
I like hanging out. With his actions, it's very much in the love territory. I'm very confused. I want to be able to express my feelings for him openly, but I am afraid of doing so again without the reassurance that they will be reciprocated. Is it too early to expect a guy to be in on the love game, like Jared says? What do you say?
I either forget everything I say or I'm misquoted because.
People say this all the time in emails. They're like, and Jared says, like, you know, the going gets rough. You keep on going. I'm like, did yeah. Jared say that? I don't remember.
I don't think I said that. I mean, let me rebuff this person. Whether I said it or not, okay, fine. But I'm not big into too early. I don't really believe, and I've kind of said that from day one of like, there's not like a too anything to me.
Right.
But go on. Yeah. That doesn't
I'm
feel
wondering.
Like my quote.
Maybe he does really care about me, but isn't ready to say the words yet. Is there ever a point in a relationship when it is valid to expect a significant other to say, I love you. Thanks so much.
So this is a tough one. This is like in the existential world of like, when do you say I love you? Should someone say, I mean, if I'm going to live by some kind of like some things that I've said be here before, like, I don't think there's a time or a place. There's no too early, too late. I think like you have, I think she wrote a couple of things in the email that I want to pull out if that's okay.
Let's hear it.
The first one is a month ago, I got heavily drunk and told him I love you. He did not say it back. Embarrassed. I went home that night. It's been a month since then. And he knows how I feel. Well, you said it drunk.
Right.
I don't know. I can only go by what the email said. She doesn't say that she said it again and was like, I just want to reiterate. I felt the way I said.
I don't know if you
when
heard
I was
me.
Drunk. Yeah. <Last time. laughs> Ahem. Ahem. Yeah.
Following up.
Yeah. I don't. It just doesn't. But if it was a drunken, I said it. And you're like, well, I did it. Like, I checked the box. Where's your I love? Like,
right.
I do think there needs to be a little more vulnerability, and especially when you get drunk, there's like a, you're hiding behind the alcohol of it all. Maybe the person.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's scary to say it for the first time. So there is the temptation like, oh, sure. I'm just going to say it when I'm already drunk. But I think if you want to actually gauge someone's feelings, the best time to say that is not when you're drunk. And it's okay if you did say it when you're drunk, but I would, like you said, I would come back sober.
You gotta own it. You gotta own it. You can't just like let the drunk one sit out there. There has to be a solidifying sober one, I think, right?
Like, I definitely, yeah.
Because I've done that. I've made the mistake, and I've of doing the drunk I love you, and then waking up the next morning and be like, oh boy, Jared, you got a little carried away last night. You know, like, I've done that. I've also, yeah, it's just a tough thing. Like, you don't know if it meant less to him. I don't know. I'm giving him some credibility in this as far as maybe a why. But then there's another thing she wrote, is that she feels loved. So it's like, you know, I if you feel loved and you feel and you still love them, like, I think, like, you know, everyone comes to that conclusion on their own. Like, and it comes to a point where it's like, when do you get turned off? When do you fall out of love because they haven't said it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, if I were her, I would, like you said, I would say it again sober in like a relaxed environment that's sober. And then if the person isn't saying it back, then's the time to bring up sort of, because I also do think it means different things to different people. Like she said, sure. Like some people say it a lot more easily. It means it has different meaning to them. It's not like something that has like such an objective cut and dry meaning to it. So I think like I would say it again because that's how she feels. And then if he doesn't say it, just be like, I think that's a great time to like get into that conversation about like how they see this relationship. Are they happy? Where do they see it going? And like, I think that that's a totally fine way to see that. I think you'll learn a lot more through that. What is saying I love you mean to you, that you don't feel comfortable saying it? You really will learn a lot more about the person, even if their answer isn't exactly what you want to hear. I think it's sort of like now it's just kind of this unsaid thing and you're not really talking about it.
Yeah, I guess that is like the healthiest way to go forward is with a little bit of like an interview session and not a judgment, you know, but and not a judgmental one. Like, he might say to you, I've never said that to someone before. Like, I don't even know how to rate it. Like, and then maybe you say, like, do you see me like the way you see your family? Does it feel like family? Like, does this feel like a relationship that is more important than the ones you've been in? Or is this just, and I think their answers will either make you feel more or less confident. Like, there's no, you're not going to be the same you were before the interview.
Right. Which is a good thing.
Which is a good
thing. I think either way. Yeah. And if they're like, yeah, like I've said it before, but I feel like something's missing or something, you know, I don't feel like I can get there. Then you are learning something about someone again faster than you would if you just let this linger, you know, and unspoken. And again, it's very scary to like tell someone how you feel and potentially get rejected.
Totally. And I think also there's a big thing of like, you can fall out of love with someone. That's okay. You know, you can love someone during a period and then have the context of the period. And then all of a sudden time moves on. They're not the same person you were falling in love with. Like, the idea that like, because you said it, you're locked into love zone. And like, if this person talks to you, doesn't give you any answers to your questions, you could walk away being like, I don't know if I
didn't like how that felt. Yeah.
Like how that felt. And that's okay too. I think like a lot of these things that we get asked about, it's like, it almost feels like people feel like they went through a turnstile that they can't go back from.
Right. They've reached the point of past of no return, but that's not the case. Yeah.
But that's not the case. Like, you said it, you feel it, you feel loved, which, like, that's something to let that person know. Like, I do feel loved by you. Like, every, you know, like, I think that's something that's so encouraging to, like, get that conversation open. And then you don't want to feel like you forced him and, you know, maybe he comes back, you know, and you give him time. You go,
yeah, you could say, think about it.
Yeah. Well, you could also be like, I feel good about from that conversation. Then a week goes by and he goes, you know what? I was thinking about it. I do love you. You know, like, and, or he comes back a week from then and he goes, you know what? I was thinking about it. We should end this relationship. I don't feel I'm where you are. That's scary. I get that.
Yeah, it's scary, but I think either scenario gives you more clarity into what the other person is thinking, which is always a good thing.
And it also gets you away from this, like, you should have said it. If they don't say it back, then they don't mean it. No, that's not communication. That's just, you know, that's like just like, you know, it feels like you guys are like in a scoring competition. Like, you're just like, oh, chalk it up, you know?
Yeah, that's not how a relationship works. It has a lot more nuance than that.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
You want to do some awkward sex?
Let's do it.
Send yours in. UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. Let's do it. New listener here, because enough friends recommended you to me that I had to give you a shot. This is my favorite type of listener, the one that was dragged in here.
And now they're writing to us for advice.
That's right.
You're welcome.
Shocking to no one, you're great and I'm hooked. There we go. The fun end of the story. Here's an awkward sex story for you. I wish this was all a lie, but it's not. Enjoy. When COVID hit, I ran from the city to my childhood home in Westchester. I was still there in the summer when outdoor dining was a thing, and my parents' cleaning lady set me up with another client's son who stayed in the city.
I love this because it shows anyone can set you up. You know what I mean?
Anyone.
Like,
you know everyone's what I mean? Looking to be that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I also love the innocence. Like, there's so many people. Like, it's funny that we live in, like, maybe I feel like the world is just split into two. Like, the people that are like, yeah, my cleaning lady set me up with another one of her clients is like totally like a thing that you would say. And then there's another group of people that are like, you have a, like, would get offended by that. Like, how could you a what lady? You know, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's like this like other world that they wouldn't be so admittance. Like, this person's like, I love how just honest they are. Like, yeah, I ran up to Westchester. I'm staying in this great home. My parents have the cleaning lady setting me up. You know,
life's good. I literally pictured her running to Westchester.
Right. I just love the charmed innocence of that sentence. Okay. We went on two dates, and he was awkward but entertaining. No fooling around or anything, just drinks, dinner, and a little making out. Before the third date, he asked if I would stay over, and I said sure. The whole night was full of awkward sexual tension. What do you think of that? I think that's not... I think that's like one of those things that I'm not in favor... Asking, will you stay over before the third date? You can't expect a good sexual experience to happen if someone needs to do that.
Right. If they want to like lock in the sleepover as opposed to like, we'll see what happens. You know what
we'll
I mean?
We'll see what happens.
Like, you know, my mom, well, given this person's background, I can imagine like, you know, her mom called his mom and was like, is it okay if
if Jake Rachel sleeps over? Yeah.
That's how I see it playing out in that instance. But yeah, I agree. It definitely takes away some of the like, I would say one of the best parts about being single is the idea that like you don't know where the night will take you.
Yeah, that's the scary, that's the romantic, that's the sexual charge that comes from it. I'm with you. And I do understand she's in Westchester, so she's got to like tell mom and dad when she'll be home. But like, you know, we're all adults who can be creative. She could have been like, I don't know, but him asking her, like, he doesn't have to know, you know, like.
Right. Now it's like, okay, like we both know what's happening. That I think makes it more awkward than it has to be.
Totally, especially when she says he was awkward but entertaining. And then date three, so will you sleep over tonight if we go on a date? And it's like, the other problem with it that I don't really like is that like you do feel, I would hope people don't feel this, but I can understand how someone would, like obligation. Like, well, I said I'd sleep over.
Right.
So now you're like going back with someone that you might not have had gone back with. I don't know.
Yeah, I would have just said like, let's see how it goes or something.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's a good, like, anyone out there, someone's like, hey, you going to stay over after this date? Let's see how the date goes. Let's have a good time. I think that's a totally fine answer to that question.
Yeah, agreed.
Before we go to bed, I go to the bathroom and walk out to him spread out on his bed, butt-ass naked, on his back, slathered in coconut oil from his neck to his ankles. That takes
so
a lot of work in itself.
That is so rude to the cleaning lady that set him up with this girl.
All over the
Here's
sheets.
Your reward.
Yeah, right? My jaw hits the floor in shock. He thinks this is a good sign and asks if I like his ding dong.
Oh, my God.
What? This man is 28 years old. I just say I'm surprised and walk to the other side of the room. He gets up, slides off the bed, and goes to hug me from behind. Ugh. I don't like the sound of any of this.
This is all making me very uncomfortable.
Especially like you walk to the other side of the room. It's like a room, and then like he thinks that's the like
and
a normal thing.
His body has coconut oil all over it.
So he's hugging you from behind, prom style, like what, to look at the moon? Like what's
right?
The,
Clearly, what's this guy thinks this is like a move though, because he's got this whole like it seems like he's like planned out this seduction. He's like, I asked her to sleep over, so she's in. And when she goes to the bathroom, I'll just, you know, I'll turn on the moves.
Yeah, get the coconut oil out. I'll turn on the music. You just hear, the look of love is in your eyes. Do you like my ding dong?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's okay. So he gets up, slides off the bed, and goes to hug me from behind, but not before telling me to watch out for his pokey poke. AKA boner. This now we're in the land of, hey, I'm going to go.
Yeah, I would. That would be my thought process.
Right? Needless to say, I'm as dry as a desert at this point. The straw that broke the camel's back was that he jumped backwards back onto the bed to try and be sexy, and it straight up collapsed. I was done.
How does a bed collapse?
Like the bedboard, like the whole thing. He like jumped backwards and it just like crashed to the ground, I guess.
Oh my God.
I was done. I suggested he showered off the quart of oil while I fixed the bed and managed to get it all done and fake being asleep by the time he got back. Ugh, fake being asleep. I would have been, I mean, I know you got to go back to Westchester.
Yeah.
Go to a friend's place. There was not a fourth date. Hope this gave you a laugh. Wondering what you would call this. I was thinking maybe Loco Coco. Sincerely, Ding Dong Ditcher. What do we think? Jordana.
I like Ding Dong Ditcher for the name. That was a good one. Yeah, it's funny to me whenever I hear an email like this or an awkward sexual experience like this, because I'm like, does this guy, did this work with someone else? Like, what was his? And I also can, I understand her. She was probably like, this guy seems great. You know, we went on two great dates. And then it seems like when they got into the bedroom, he turned into this whole other person that was like completely unattractive. Like, what is the mindset for the guy?
Well,
here?
She did say he was awkward, but entertaining. So like, there's this thing of like, I do understand her giving him an inch with like, oh, he's the quirky guy. He's got a weird sense of humor. I kind of think it's funny. And then this weird sense of humor just erupted in him trying. I don't know. I don't want to let him off the hook because like so much of this is so weird that like the idea that this was like funny to him, like there's a point where the joke stops. Like even awkward and quirky people have to figure out how they can be sexual. Maybe he's working through that.
Right.
He's
playing into it too much. Maybe. I don't know.
It's just all too much. Like, I don't even know. And it also feels very much like I'm the Will Ferrell of the group and this never ends. And I like that person to me is always exhausting. Like I'd be like, I don't really like, I don't know. I don't think men get that as much. Like there's no woman that I've really encountered that like can't turn it off. And this feels like a not turned off thing when she says that he was awkward, but entertaining. That's
right.
I'm making an assumption here, but you know what I mean?
I think that's a good assumption. Like he didn't know how to like, kind of like he's playing too much into it in this. Maybe like some people kind of like that quirkiness, but then he's like overdoing it in the bedroom.
That's like the most kind way we can look at him is that he's like, quirkiness got me here. I got to keep it going. I got to spray myself down in coconut oil and, you know, jump onto the bed and hug her prom style and do everything that could become a meme later in life. I don't know. Like the idea of just getting completely naked while someone's out of the room is crazy to me unless they asked you to.
Yeah. It's just very presumptive.
The whole thing. Did you have a name for it?
I liked her name. I liked the... What did she call it? The
Ding Dong Ditcher.
I like the Ding Dong Ditcher. Maddie, our producer, said she liked the Hokey Pokey, the slip and slide. I liked both of those. What did you think?
I had Ding Dong, the Sitch is dead.
Okay, I like that.
That's the one I had. I mean, has anything like this ever happened where you're like dealing with like Mr. Funny Man? Like, you know, I like,
yeah.
That's the, and I don't want to like call him. Like, listen, I understand who someone could hear the story and be like, no, he's not Mr. Funny Man. He's Mr. Creepy Douchebag who doesn't care about making the person who's with him comfortable. I can understand that's a perspective.
I mean, I guess in his head, he thought it was like fun and like kind of weird, but like she might be into it. I don't think he's like a terrible person. I just think like maybe bad at reading the room or like not great moves, I would say.
But not great moves is putting it mildly.
The not great moves is what I would call this one. I've been with guys who I think are like, they were like nice, but I agree kind of awkward. And then you kind of like hope that they're a little different or it's a little more like natural feeling, in bed, but it's not. And then you're kind of like, I don't really want to be here. So I've had not to this degree, but I've definitely felt that I've like taken a chance on the like kind of quirky guy.
Yeah. I've had people think that I'm going to be like this because they say some people hear like, oh, they're a comedian. And then they go, oh, it's going to be annoying. It's never going to end. You know, and I understand that. Like, that's perfectly fine. You know, like, I understand where that comes from. But like, I don't have enough energy for this.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that, I mean, this guy seems like a non-self-aware quirky guy.
No. Doesn't seem like he's killing it on the awareness front. And it would be, for me, it's a deal breaker whenever someone isn't like giving
self-aware.
Self-aware. And also like, hey, this is not, we're not on the same page here. Like I need in the bedroom, you both have to be on the same page 100% or I'm like, I'm just going to back out of this situation.
I agree, because it's just like a turnoff. So don't agree to sleepovers before you see how the night goes. Lesson learned. Should we do another email?
Let's do it. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Go for it, Jordana.
Okay. J&J, love the podcast, and I'm hoping you can continue to solve dating with this one. My ex and I were together for 2 years, and we've been broken up for almost 2 years now. We both dated other people since and recently reconnected by running into each other a few weeks before my move to Austin. My move from Austin to New York. We worked together, so we went from seeing each other every day to not seeing or talking one another for about a year due to COVID / working from home. When we ran into each other at a bar downtown, we hooked up that night, and the snowmageddon in Austin led to us staying together for 4 days straight while I was snowed in at his place. We watched Netflix, took my dog on long walks in the freezing weather, hooked up a lot more, and felt like we were back to exactly where we were when we first met, happy and in love. I felt blindsided and was so devastated when he broke up with me 2 years ago. He went through my phone while I was sleeping and saw texts between me and my mom. I wasn't saying nice things about his family. For example, his sister is the messiest person I have ever met. His brother is gross and has overstayed his welcome. And the worst one was where I was joking with my mom that if he bought me an ugly ring, I'd say fuck no. My mom knew it was a joke and said, ha ha ha, I'll make sure to tell him. He took it so seriously and was so hurt about the private conversation I was having with my mom that he broke up with me over it. He told his parents everything, so all of his family knows exactly what I said about them. So now they hate me and think I'm materialistic. Fast forward back to us reconnecting recently. He said he misses and loves me so much, but can never get back together because of his family and how bad they would treat me over the past. Which it didn't matter what he said in that moment because I was moving away anyway. Spoiler, I'm not moving to New York City anymore. And we went from having this emotional goodbye last week, thinking we couldn't be together due to distance, to now this could never work because of family. For context, he's 32 and I'm 28 and his family lives 2 hours away from Austin while mine lives 5 hours away. We're in a difficult spot now because we can't just be friends with how we still feel about one another. I love him and miss him so much too. I say, F that, be a man and tell your family to get over it. If this is what's going to make you happy for the rest of your life, but he doesn't think that'll work. Eye roll. What do you think? Should he have the balls to talk to his family or should we talk to his family together? Is it worth it? Or is this truly a lost cause because the family always comes first? Sincerely, portrayed as Regina George.
Yeah, this is a tough one because she's asking for a question. She's asking the wrong question to me.
Yeah, I was thinking that also. It's like she's making it about the family when they're not that's not really why they broke up.
No.
To me.
And he's repeating what he did 2 years ago. He finds a thing that gets him out of it, gives him a reason. You know,
she's
like
the bad guy.
Where she's the bad guy. Looked through her phone. Like he looked through her phone. He obviously was looking for something that he thought was wrong. And when the minute you look through someone's phone is the minute you're kind of out, you know, like as far as like you don't trust this person. So you're like foot out the door. And let's say you find nothing. You go, well, I guess I don't have a reason to have my foot out the door. Maybe I just don't like them, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, that's my thought, because it's like people are allowed to talk shit about your family privately to their own family members. Like if that happened with me, I think I'd be like, OK, you're not like say I'd rather you say it to your mom than say it to my tell my brother to get the fuck out of here.
He's exactly. Yeah. Well, he's playing breakup improv.
Yeah.
Is what he's doing. He's yes anding the best situation for the breakup. So he's going, oh, you talk shit about my family. I could never. And he's just going down that river. And then you're moving to New York. We could never do long distance. And you're like, guess what I'm saying? Well, I could never be with someone. You know, he just went to option B, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And I think this like stems from, and this sucks, you know, she references his age and he's sitting there being like, I like her. And just like, you know, she writes about how they get snowed in and it's just like it used to be. Yeah, because you're snowed in. Like, you know, it's comfortable. There's no like additional responsibilities. The minute he goes, I'll talk to my family. This is it. Is the minute like shit moves forward. You guys are together. This is for real. There's responsibility in that. Right now he lives in the land of no responsibility. The 4 days together was a vacation together. That's
right.
Nobody's a real couple on a vacation.
I agree. And if it wasn't the family, I think it would be something else.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean? Because it was something else until it wasn't. And now it's the family. And I think if it wasn't that, it would be, you know, something else. Like, I think he's clearly using this as an excuse to like get out of this.
Totally. And you could go to your family and you can go, hey, we're all going to sit down. Let's hash this out. We can get it done in 15 minutes because everyone loves each other. Everyone's sitting at the negotiation table where they know they have a, it's in everyone's best interest to get along, because if they want to keep their son, if they want to keep you, if you want to keep your son happy, if you want to keep him happy, then you're all going to come together to some sort of conclusion that includes apologies and, oh, that was then. And I meant to, and then the family would go, yeah, you're right. Our son is a mess and our daughter fucking sucks. And they would understand what you were talking about. The context would be, you know, but he's not doing that. If he does do that, that means he's committed to you. If he doesn't do that, that means he doesn't have to commit and it can kind of be released.
Yeah, I agree. So I would like, and I would, I think it's kind of, it's very manipulative what he's doing, because he's trying to make her feel like, oh, if only she had not fucked up, they would be mm-hmm. together, which is not the case. It's just an easier thing for him to deal with than him just telling you the truth and being like, I don't necessarily really see this going anywhere. I obviously like you. He obviously likes you. I mean, like, you have a history. You had these 4 days where it felt comfortable, but sure. It seems like he woke up and he's like, oh yeah, this isn't right. And I don't want to take responsibility and just say, I don't think this is right. So I'm going to make it easier for myself to deal with and not seem like a bad guy and say, it's your fault for talking shit about my sister to your mom.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the hard reality, to give him some defense on why he's manipulating, because he is, I agree with you. And it's hard to like defend the manipulator. But like, I would say that like he's sitting there being like, yeah, I'm really comfortable with you and I could spend 4 days. I could spend 4 months with you, but I can't see 4 years or 40 years. Right. And that's really hard to tell someone. Like, it's that sucks. So he's taking a shitty way out of that conversation.
Yeah. And if I were you, I mean, even if this was like, let's play devil's, like, let's say this really was the reason that he didn't want to get back together with you. Like, do you really want to like strong arm someone into like telling their, if they're not that interested in it, like to force them to make their parents love you?
Yeah. And if you like, you could kind of fake do that. You could be like, hey, listen, until you talk to your parents, we're going to break up. And then and you know where to find me. And if I'm this person, I wouldn't wait by the phone holding my breath, because I don't think you're getting that call. You're letting them off the hook easy.
Right. Yeah, I think best to cut your losses and move on. It sucks because I can also see where she's like, oh, this felt so comfortable. Like, why did we break up? Like, it wasn't really a big deal. But like, again, I think if you examine the real reason you broke up, he went through your phone. He broke up with you after finding a reason to hold on to. Like, there was something not great about it to begin with. So I would try to remember what that was.
For sure. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Let's play some games. You ready?
Let's do it. Okay.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. You want me to do the first one?
Let's do it.
Okay. Red flag, deal breaker. Absolutely love the podcast. I found out about a month ago. Have been binge listening ever since. Recently, I had a pretty good first date with a guy that I met on Hinge. The day after the date, we were texting to make plans for our next date, and my best friend called me on FaceTime to chat. She is also dating someone new. Our convo eventually developed into checking our Zodiac compatibility with our new partners. It's a Gen Z thing. Well, I think it's
a millennial thing too.
Zodiac, Zodiac signs have been around for thousands of years. When I looked at my compatibility with my new guy, I laughed out loud because the first thing I saw was that our sexual compatibility is 1%. In case you were wondering, he's an Aquarius and I'm a Virgo. My friend asks.
Yeah. You have been asking what our signs were.
Yeah, we for all you Aquariuses out there, don't date a Virgo because you won't be able to come. So my friend asked me what was so funny, so I quickly took a screenshot, sent it to her over text. Well, so I thought. Literally only a half a second later, I realized that I accidentally sent the screenshot to him. He didn't seem fazed at all. And we have since set up our second date. But what do you guys think? Red flag or deal breaker? After the first date, they send you a screenshot of your horrendous Zodiac sexual compatibility. Hope you get a chuckle. This is a great email.
So that was great. Should we read the actual text?
Oh, we have it. Okay, hold on.
We have it, yeah.
Hold on.
It's hard to read, though. Let me see.
I know. I'm trying to zoom in. And I put these
Oh,
in
I see
to,
it.
Do you see it?
Yeah. Okay. So she basically, she sends over the thing. It says 1%. It says overthinking is a true turnoff for Aquarius, although they do it too, just in a quicker pace. And they will rarely find Virgo's analysis sexy in any way. Shy, thoughtful, sensitive Virgo will have trouble understanding their nude, weird, and often too fast Aquarius partner. It is almost certain that none of them will have enough patience to build their sex life with someone so different from what they need. 1%. And then she goes, so she sent that screenshot. And on the top of the screenshot that she sent is the video is herself, is the bottom half of her face in the video of the FaceTime.
It's such a mistake.
And then she goes, that was to my best friend. Whoops.
And then he writes, LOL. I'm most likely they free after 5 Tuesday and before 5 Friday. He just ignores it.
That's really funny. Actually, I'm surprised he kind of ignored it because it feels like it'd be a fun place to like have a funny joke.
Totally. And to like talk about sex a little bit, or to like at least be a little bit, fun with a fun topic. But also, I love her understanding of men where she's like, he didn't even seem fazed. Yeah. As if I don't know a guy in the universe that would see that and go,
I guess this isn't going to work.
If the stars say it to be, I shall not be getting naked with thee, and I shall move on. Like, what?
Red flag or deal breaker? She only will date you if your stars align. If your signs
deal breaker. Because it's not that she cares about that. It's that I have to expound the energy to look like I care about it. Oh, really?
Right.
So we're 1% on the Virgo Aquarius as I'm sitting there being like, are we going to fuck or not? You know, like, like,
how many moon signs do I have to look up before this is happening? Yeah,
exactly. You don't see this from guys a lot, but what if a guy was like, hey, so what if a guy said to you, Jordana, or sent this to you, but it was that you guys were 100% compatibility?
I would be a little turned off that he was like looking, to be totally honest.
Right?
Yeah. I'd be like, first of all, it would show, I think it would show that they were like very invested in this, that they're looking up our signs to see how compatible we are. which I don't know. And then secondly, I just think this is all kind of dumb. Like the sign stuff.
Oh,
obviously.
The signs and all that stuff. I can understand two women talking about their guys. Oh, what
it's
do you think
fun,
our match
right.
is? Like, it's yeah. fun, you know, to me, it goes under the category, and I know this probably sounds bad to people, but like, it's under the category of like girl talk. Like, oh, can you believe 1% compatibility? It is funny to be 1% sexual compatibility with someone.
Yeah, and I've done that too. I've like read the Cosmo, horoscopes for the week and all that other stuff. Like, I've done it, but like, I think if they were joking, it would be kind of funny. If they were doing it like totally seriously, it would be a deal breaker.
Yeah. If he was fazed by this, I would be turned off. like if I were her. like the idea of him being like, well, I don't know if no, Zeus saying. And Poseidon say so, you know, like I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, let's do another one.
All right.
Red flag or deal breaker. They ask only for your LinkedIn as a way to get in touch with you. Backstory. I met a guy at a party and we really hit it off. He asked for my LinkedIn saying we should link up. When I told him I didn't have one, he didn't ask for anything else. Example, Instagram, number, etc. I later followed him on Instagram and he followed me back, but nothing ever came from it. Heartbreaking considering I made the brave move to follow him first. Only sort of kidding. Obviously not having LinkedIn was a deal breaker for him. Thanks for all you do. Linked out.
That's funny because I don't have, I think I had a LinkedIn that I made when I was like selling life insurance and like I used to get emails from it being like, so-and-so is trying to link with you. And I'd be like, man, I'm so far outside of this world that I feel like ridiculous that I even had it.
I don't have one either anymore. I used to have one.
No,
also.
You're out of the game. And I know there's a LinkedIn world. To me, this is someone cheating.
You think?
There's an element of it.
That's so interesting. I didn't think that at all.
Yeah, when you keep to one world that is kind of on its own island, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, they all kind of like live in the same box on your iPhone.
You can stalk someone pretty easily in there, right? Yeah.
Yeah, LinkedIn, I would assume just that it's built for business contacts so you can kind of like separate yourself from those a little
interesting.
Bit.
My first thought was that he just wanted to connect about something work related, but yours is probably a lot. But then why not just get their number and connect that way? But I think yours makes more sense if I'm thinking about it now from the disgusting male point of view.
to me. Yeah. I would also say like if he was, you know, met a guy at a party, hit it off, asked for my LinkedIn. Like it's just such a weird. Like, I don't know what they talked about at the party. If they talked about all business and he asked for the LinkedIn, she's like, I don't have one. He's like, oh, then what kind of fucking business person are you? You moved on. But to me, it's just like, it's too separated from the other social medias.
Right.
And it's its own world.
It's probably a good way to be shady. I could see that. Wonder how many affairs have started on LinkedIn.
Probably. We'll probably get the
probably
emails
not zero.
Now.
Yeah.
Not was that a red flag or deal breaker for you? If they,
I guess deal breaker because they're not interested in me.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Okay.
Last one. They list their BMI, body mass index, in their dating app profile bio.
Deal breaker.
Deal breaker. Yeah. Well, I guess the assumption if they list their body mass index in their profile is that they have a very low body. What if they were like joking around, what if it was a guy who's overweight and a bigger guy and he's like BMI 42%. I don't even know what the numbers are, but like that would be a funny joke to me a little bit.
I think it would, like the BMI thing, there's only like three classes of it, I think, and I'm kind of like, I don't know off the top of my head either what a high BMI, like what the number would have to be in any of the categories.
Sure.
So I guess if it was executed really well, it would be okay. But I think I can't imagine it would be.
It would have to be a perfectly worded BMI joke that included. Yeah. I agree with you. Like if it's there, I'm assuming that they're obsessed with it.
Right.
And it's not a funny thing to them.
And if it's in the normal range, I'm kind of like, oh, are they just trying to say that they only want to date someone with an also normal ranged BMI? Like, I don't know what's the ideal BMI?
I don't even know. This actually reminds me of a story. I was in high school health class and I remember like my friend's mom was the teacher of our health class. And she was like a pretty straightforward woman. And I remember we were in the class. I was like with a couple friends of mine. And we were going over the body types that day.
Okay.
And I remember there's like ectomorph, mesomorph, and endomorph. Okay. And I remember endomorphs are said to have higher percentage of body fat. And I remember my friend and I were like in the class and she was like, we were all like discussing endo, ecto, and meso. And I go, Mrs. Whatever. I go, what am, and I'm not even at what am I. Like, I just go, what am? And she goes, endo. And Everyone laughed hysterically just at how quickly she put me in endo. Like, it was like, and we still to this day, like, endo, like, we all just like make
fun
of that
moment.
Sounds
like a painful memory.
It wasn't pain. It was funny to me, the idea that someone wasn't doing that, giving that information with kid gloves to a kid.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like I saw at the time at like, whatever, 16, I'm realizing, I'm like, oh.
You weren't traumatized by it.
Well, I'm still talking about it today. I'm 36, so maybe I was.
You're over it.
yeah, totally over it. Still telling the story. But I'll never forget, like, just endo. And I was like, oh, okay. I was actually going to ask to go to the bathroom. It was as if I was asking about something else.
Well, yeah, back in the 2000s, that was probably more acceptable. She'd probably get in a lot of trouble these days. Yeah.
I would run to the teacher. I'd be like, I'd run to the local paper, talk about the teachers bullying the students. Yeah.
Seriously. It would be.
Well, listen, I think we solved dating again, right?
We did it. Look at us.
We did it. And we opened up my scarring wounds as a child.
we did,
listen,
it all. Yeah.
We did it all. Keep sending your emails, uup@betches.com. Keep spreading the word, making your Instagram stories, and we'll be back this Sunday.
Bye.
U Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Madeline Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at UUpPod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to UUp@betches.com. Betches.